I want you to go ahead and grab your message notes, and if you have not been a part of this series at all, I want to just make sure to say this. Grab the messages online and make sure you take a listen to them. I really feel in my heart and my spirit that this may be one of the most important series that we do in 2016. Because the prayer coming into this year was we had just a focus and a prayer that we did not want 2016 to look like any other year, that we really wanted to see God do some different things in our life. And so in order for that to happen, it's got to be the best. If it's going to be the greatest year of your life, it's got to be the best year of your life spiritually. And so I know that everything that God is trying to do and wanting to do is really just get our attention and to get us to focus on what he wants away from oftentimes what we want. And so sometimes that tends to be the struggle in the place of waiting. But in the first week, we just talked about, just to do a quick review, that if we're going to be in a place of waiting, because many of us are in this place of waiting to today, I know that we might as well go ahead and get to work. And so waiting doesn't mean you just sit back and not do anything, but your waiting room may be God's most productive workroom for your life. And so we talked about that in the first week. And then last week, just asked a simple question, and that was, what are you waiting for? Look at the person next to you, ask him, say, what are you waiting for? Come on, look at the other person, ask him, what are you waiting for? Because I think what's interesting, and we talked about the scripture in Isaiah chapter 40, that those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. Well, there's action that's called to that. And sometimes in the midst of our waiting, it's real easy to get passive. And when you're in a place of waiting, that God is not calling us to a place of being passive, but a place of really just being proactive. And so there's more to this than what you're seeing, and God really is trying to plan ahead for your life. And so I titled this message real interesting, and just calling it Hubs, Spokes, and Road Signs. Everybody say Hubs, Spokes, and Road Signs. There we go. All right, there we go. Come on, first service. Wake up with me, all right? And you're going to see why in here in just a second. No, it seems kind of like a crazy title. But Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1 through 3, it says this, that I will climb up to my watchtower and stand at my guard post, and there I will wait to see what the Lord says and how he will answer my complaint. And then the Lord said to me, write my answer plainly on tablets so that a runner can carry the correct message to others. The vision is for a future time. Everybody say it's for a future time. It describes the end, and it will be fulfilled. Everybody say, it will be fulfilled. If it seems slow in coming, wait patiently, for it will surely take place, and it will not be delayed. I think that oftentimes that when God gives us something or we are searching for what God wants to do next, it's easy to get impatient. And I think oftentimes we even find ourselves even in a place of frustration. How many ever been there before? How many probably feel like you might be there right now, and that's okay. But that's why this message is for you. And as we wrap up this series today, I just really feel like the Holy Spirit has got something specific to say to each and every one of us in this room today. And so I want us to just take a couple minutes, just real practically, and look and really just kind of summarize these last few weeks just as it relates to waiting. And then we're going to identify some things that I think that God is trying to get our attention with. But I want you to jot this first note down with me this morning if you're following along in our notes today. And that's this, that God's transportation system operates through hubs and spokes. His transportation system operates through hubs and spokes. And for those that heard my story in the first week of this series, I worked many years at the Port Columbus International Airport in Columbus, Ohio. And the airport industry uses what they call a hub and spoke model or method. And so if you are traveling to a place that doesn't offer a direct flight, you're going to really understand this real quick, which most of the time, if you've ever flown out of Fort Wayne, there's not a whole lot of direct flights to the destination that you want to go. So usually you have to have a connecting flight. Y'all with me so far? All right. And so then what happens is you have to then, because you don't have a direct flight, they have to fly you into what they call a hub. And so one of the hubs that's closest to Fort Wayne is actually Chicago O'Hare. And so they'll fly you to Chicago O'Hare through the hub, and the spoke part method comes in then from when they fly you to into the hub, then to your destination. And it's amazing to me how God works, because I think oftentimes we find ourselves in a place that God often will take us to a place that we feel like it's opposite of where we should be going. And if you travel with God long enough, you'll feel that. Psalm 75, I want to read this verse, and I want to give some more just understanding to this. It says, "For not from the east or from the west, and not from the wilderness comes lifting up. But it is God who executes judgment, putting down one and lifting up another." Here's what I know, and just in my short journey so far, that I feel like I've learned and trying to communicate this the best that I can to you, is oftentimes you often have to go through the process. Everybody say the process. In order to get to the place. Because there is something that God wants to do in you first before you just arrive to where you need to be. Because he's the kind of God that's really, as we've talked about in this series, interested in you and your heart and your character. And he wants to make sure that you're set up well for where you need to be. And so his transportation system may not always be like you want. And I don't know about you, but I've been in the airports before and sometimes gotten real frustrated when my flight gets delayed. Anybody else been there before? Unless they cut me a real good deal like first class or a voucher, then I'm a little happier, all right? But nonetheless, it's oftentimes that we find our life in the hub and spoke type of model with God. Here's the second thing that's interesting about God that I think is so important. And here's what I do believe. I think some of you need to hear this point right here today. And that is simply this, that God doesn't put you in a holding pattern to punish you, but to protect you. Sometimes we feel like we're in a place of waiting and we feel like God is mad at us. I'm just telling you right now, God is not mad at you. He is madly in love with you and he knows exactly what he's doing. What may feel like pain is really God trying to protect you for where you're headed and for where you're going. God really does know better than we do. And I think what happens oftentimes for us is we do get frustrated. And I'm just encouraging you today, but don't live with that frustration. Life is miserable when you're doing life with people that are just mad and angry and frustrated all the time. I mean, they're dreadful to do life with. Oh, Lord, have mercy. So you can't allow yourself to live in that place, but you have to recognize that whatever waiting room that you may be in is not God punishing you. It's God trying to protect you because God really knows what he's doing. It's interesting. Verse 3 of Habakkuk 2 there says, "The vision is for a future time." It describes the end, and it will be fulfilled. Some of you need to see that today. You need to underline that, put a star next to it, a happy face next to it, because God's wanting to fulfill the very thing that he spoke to you. It's the will of God. It's his desire to honor the desires of our heart. If it seems slow in coming, wait patiently, for it will surely take place and it will not be delayed. But sometimes we feel like the destination is in sight, but all of a sudden we take a scenic tour. How many ever been on a scenic tour on a road trip? We're getting ready to take a road trip later today, myself and a few of our team down to Alabama. I'm not real interested in any scenic tours today, all right? I just want to get where I'm going and glory to God and unpack and let's rest for a little bit. Anybody understand what I'm saying today? And so scenic tours are a little frustrating at times because you just want to get there. But here's what you have to know about your God, that he really does know more than you do. And you really have to trust that even if it seems like a scenic tour or going in the opposite direction, that it's him trying to protect you because he sees things that you and I don't see and that we have to trust in that process. 2 Peter 3:9, I'm breaking this verse down a little bit today. We read it last week, but it says again, "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise." As some understand, slowness. Instead, he is patient with you. Everybody say, he is patient with me. "Not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." Your waiting room today is not meant to punish you. For some of us, we've been believing for some things for a long time, but you need to understand God is trying to protect you. God's delays are not denials. Trust in the process. Trust in his plan. Trust in what he's doing. Because he cannot land you at the destination until he determines you're ready. You may think you're ready, but God sees farther than you and I do, and I'm so glad for that. You know, just like at the control tower at an airport, one of the responsibilities that they have is to help land planes safely. And they've got a good vantage point of making sure the conditions are well. This is why you've got to trust in your God, because he has a better vantage point than you do. And he sees farther, he sees further ahead than you see. And so he's looking at the conditions right now and seeing, is it time for landing, or do we got some more work to do? Or we may be at a hub, or we may be at a spoke where he's trying to get us to where he wants us to be. But God's timing is always perfect, everybody. And I'm just encouraging you today to stay submitted to God and his process and don't miss your flight. Because God has a plan. Wait patiently, Habakkuk says, because it will come to pass. Everybody say it's going to happen. Oh, it's going to happen. And you've got to believe that and understand that that's part of God's will for us. So God desires for us to be ready when it's time to land. How many want to be ready when God says it's time to come in, pull into the airport and to wherever he wants you to be? I want to be ready. I want to be ready for whatever it is that God has. And here's the third thing. Trusting in God, this is powerful, means crossing over the supernatural dateline. I'm going to have some fun this morning, all right? I'm just telling you right now, I've been working on this message, and me and the Holy Spirit been having a good time. Trusting in God means crossing over the supernatural dateline. 2 Peter 3:8 says, with the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. Here's what you have to understand about God, that God exists outside of your understanding of time. God does not look at your wristwatch. He doesn't have his, he's got his own time, all right? He's not looking at the calendar the way you and I look at a calendar, so we have to first understand that. And there's what's called the International Dateline. How many have ever heard of the International Dateline? Just wave at me. All right, good. Most of us learned that, I think, at some point in school. And really what it is an imaginary line in the Pacific Ocean. And so this morning, Australia is already almost into Monday. They're almost a full day ahead of us. It's interesting. If you've ever flown to Australia, you ever flown that direction or even into China, you'll know that you'll fly over, especially when you fly out from LAX in California, you fly over the international dateline. So all of a sudden you went from Sunday into Monday. Pretty interesting, pretty cool how that happens. And here's the great thing about God, that God is so eternal in who he is that our prayers, listen to me, have the ability to cause us to cross over the supernatural dateline. Let me read it. Let me read this scripture because I want you to understand the power of your God and the power of prayer, because prayer is just not some cute thing we do on a Sunday morning. Prayer shifts things, moves things, births things, and through the power of prayer, the miraculous can and will happen, amen? And so it says this, I know that everything God does will endure forever. This is such a great verse. And it says, nothing can be added to it and nothing taken from it. God does it so that people will fear him. But watch this. Whatever is has already been, and what will be has been forever. What we worry about sometimes and get concerned with is that God really doesn't see ahead, but that scripture, just keep it up there for a minute, proves exactly what we're talking about here right now, and that is simply this, that where you currently are, you need to get this, where you are, whatever season you find yourself in, whatever waiting room you find yourself in, God has already been in this exact place that you're at. And therefore, because he didn't just stay there, but he's already went on. So therefore, whatever waiting room you find yourself in right now, God has made the provision for you to get through that thing, whatever it may be. So what you have to trust is the process. And trust that God has already been where I'm already at. So guess what? He's already been to this Friday. So I don't have to worry about my week because I know my God is already going to provide for whatever I need. It's already been done. And so what you have to do is trust. Everybody say trust. Trust in the process of what the Holy Spirit is doing in your life. I love this part about God. Romans 4:17, it says this, that it's God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. You may be wondering this morning, man, how is this even going to work out? How am I going to get through this season? What am I ever going to come out of this waiting room? I'm telling you, trust in his process and what he's doing. Because what Psalm 75 says to us is that God is the promoter. There's nothing worse than you having to try and promote yourself. Because ain't nobody want to hang around people that are trying to promote themselves all the time. You understand what I'm saying? But when God does the promoting, things begin to move. In your job, come on, with your family, whatever it may be, when God starts doing promotion, look out. Fun seasons ahead. So allow God to be the one to promote you and to move you into the place that he needs you and wants you to be. And this is going to work out. Why? Because his word declares it. His promise declares it. The power of his Holy Spirit is what's going to carry us to tomorrow. So there's road signs. I want to give you four of them today that I think these are going to be so important. And if you've ever been on a road trip, how many like road trips? All right. If you're actually, you know, driving in a car, and some of us are like, I don't like the road trip of my waiting room right now, Kyle, but I do like other road trips, right? And so, but sometimes those road trips can get a little boring, right? Right, talk to me, amen? And so, but the important thing about road trips is road signs. Because when you're driving, you know that there's X amount of miles to the destination. Lord knows that you've got to use the bathroom sometimes, and you need a good gas station. Amen. A clean one, preferably. Amen. Talked about that weeks ago. Anyways, but you, and some place to eat, right? Got to get some grub. Got to throw down a little bit and eat. And so I want to give you some road signs, because here's what when I was praying this week, I felt like one of the things I wanted to help you with was helping you identify where you're at in this waiting process, though. As some of us are capturing the heart of God in this and are making the decision that I'm not going to be passive, but I'm going to be proactive. I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to stay committed to what God wants for my life and stay committed to the process. Because I believe this, that when God speaks to us, there are certain predictable stages that will happen. And that's what I want us to see this morning. And so this verse in Acts chapter 20 is one I'm going to kind of hang with the rest of this message. And I just want to set up just the story of the context of what's going on here with Paul. Paul, just again, he's just an audacious brother, full of faith, full of God. But Paul is leaving Ephesus. He's in a place that he's now leaving Ephesus after planting a church there. But it's interesting when you kind of study this out, because he's extremely emotional. And this scripture that he's getting ready to speak is one that is extremely heartfelt for him and what he's trying to convey to us. Let's read it here, verse 22 of chapter 20. It says, "And now compelled by the Spirit." Everybody say, he was compelled. "I'm going to Jerusalem, not knowing what's going to happen to me there. I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me." Thank you, Lord, for that encouragement. "However, I consider my life worth nothing to me." He realizes my life is not my own. My life belongs to the will of God. "If only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace." So I believe there's four stages that you may find yourself in. I think every one of us are in one of these four stages today. And at the end of each stage, I'm going to give you a question. And I'm, again, my hope in this is to be so practical that it really helps you identify where you're at in this season. Jot this first one down. First one is the prompting of the Holy Spirit. The prompting of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to try to explain this the best that I feel like I can. The prompting is something sometimes you really can't necessarily see or touch, but you know it's there. I was in an airport some time ago, and when I was there traveling to my destination, as I was actually in O'Hare, and I remember I was caught off guard by, man, this incredible smell. I mean, Lord have mercy. I had to find, where is this loving, just beautiful smell coming from? And all of a sudden, I just followed that prompting. And that prompting brought me to Cinnabon, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus, for teaching me about prompting at Cinnabon. Come on, it doesn't matter where you at. God can always show you something. So I realized once I smelled it, I've got to find out where this is at. And so Paul said this in verse 22 there in Acts 20. He said, "And now compelled by the Spirit, I'm going to Jerusalem." That word compelled actually literally means to be wrapped up in cords. And can I just tell you that is this church. That we are a church compelled by the vision of God. That God has given us a mission. He has given us a vision to go farther and to reach as many people as we can for the glory of God. We want to see leaders raised up because this is not a church that's meant for one location, but multiple locations. We've got a dream center one day that we're gonna start in this city that's going to help rehabilitate people 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We're compelled, listen to me, everybody, with a mission and a vision to reach people in this city for the glory of God. And what we're looking for is a bunch of people that are convinced, and we're trying to convince people to give their lives away for the cause of Christ. I say, I just don't want to live for myself. And I want to live for the glory of God and doing what he's called me to do. While you still have breath in your lungs, you've got to do what God has put in your life to do and go after it in Jesus' name. I believe this, that people lose their way and they get distracted when they lose their why. And for some of us today, we have lost our why. We have lost why God has placed us here. It's time to get stirred up. It's time to get compelled again with what God is trying to do in this city. It's greater than us, and I don't know about you, but I want to be a part of something much, much bigger than myself. Are y'all here today? And so we've got to get this in our spirit. I'm not trying to work with your brain today. I'm just telling you that right now. I'm trying to work with your heart, trying to work with your spirit today. And that's what God is trying to do. Job, towards the end of his journey, if you don't know the story of Job, brother went through horrific stuff, literal hell at times. He says this in verse 18, I'm full of words and the spirit within me compels me. Inside, this is my prayer for you. He said, I'm like bottled up wine, like new wineskins ready to burst. I hope you've had that experience. And I pray that you have that experience, that you continue to get up every day, waking up with purpose in your life, realizing you're not just here for you, that God has got plans to work and to move through your life. And if you're not being stirred today, it may be for one of two reasons. Number one, at the end of this service, I'm going to give you an opportunity to come into a relationship with Jesus, and you need to know him personally. The second reason you may not be stirred today is that you know religion, but you don't know God. Religion has the ability to mask itself that we're a Christian. Many people sometimes follow religion, but their spirit man has never come alive. Scripture talks to us about the born again experience. Being born again doesn't mean you go back into your mother's womb and be born again. It means believing in Jesus with all of your heart and declaring that out of your mouth that you are born again. And God said that you will be saved. How do you know if you're a believer? How do you know if you're a Christian? Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. And our spirit testifies with his spirit. I believe Mark Twain said it best, that he said the two most important days in your life is the day that you were born and the day that you find out why you were born. That we were created to serve. We were created to make a difference with our life, to affect people. That's why we're here. We're not here for us. God didn't put you here. You're not still breathing air because just for nothing. God put you here to make an impact on people's lives. So my question within this, and this is not the question I'm going to have you write down, but just, are you being stirred today? Are you stirred? It's like a can of Mountain Dew or Pepsi or Coke. Have you ever shaken one of those bad boys up and then opened it up? That's the kind of stirred I'm talking about, that I want to see our church so full of God, so full of being compelled with what God is doing in our life, that we are stirred, we are compelled with the mission and saying, whatever it takes to reach people in our city, we're going to do it. Whatever it takes to reach the lost and the dying, we're committed to do it. And so I think it's time for God to shake some things up in our life. Quiet in here. It's time. And if you're not stirred, it's time to get stirred. And we need to identify if we're not today and get real honest with God. You get stirred by reading God's word. You get stirred by worshiping him, praying, fasting, giving, serving, being a part of God's mission. Those are things that'll stir you up. You say, man, but I don't know my vision, my destiny, my call quite yet. Hang on, because we can help you. We have a growth track that helps you with that and that assimilation process. But second to that, can I tell you one of the greatest ways to find your cause is to serve in somebody else's? and just get active and start serving and making a difference. Amen, church? And this is critical, because what are you living for? You know, I did Chad's funeral yesterday. It was an incredible honor for me. And I thought so much about his life and how shortly after week two that he came here, he didn't waste no time, he and Kelly. They got serving. Some of our first greeters, they went from greeting to the kids team. And they just had a heart that said, man, whatever it takes, man, to complete the mission. And you know, that's one thing he'd always tell me, Pastor, I believe in what God is doing with our church. We're going to do it. We're going to do it. We're going to do it. He would always be such an encourager to me in that. And that's why it's important to know the vision and what God has placed within us to do. We talk about it a lot around here. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there's no vision, people will perish. So the question you can write just next to that first point is God stirring me? Is he stirring you? Number two, there comes this next stage is certain uncertainty. Certain uncertainty. This is sometimes where the will of God for your life seems wobbly. Seems like you're not quite sure what's happening or where to go. You know God wants to do something, but the problem is your intellect has gotten in the way, and you said, well, I need all the details first before I take that step. I'm here to let you know you better be real careful with that, because there's two reasons why God's not going to give you all the details. First of all, you can't handle it. If God were to tell me all the details of everything he wants to do, I would freak out. I would run out this church right now, because I'd be scared out of my mind. And I know it. But the second reason is if you knew it all, then you wouldn't need God in the process. God gives you and I just enough to take a step of faith and to move forward in his process for your life. And the problem is we get so focused on facts and intellect. You say, well, I need all the information to take the first step. But the Bible says the righteous live by faith. God ain't interested in working with your intellect. He's just not. He's not trying to work with your brain. He's trying to work with your heart and your spirit. That's what he's wanting to capture. Because when he has your heart, he's got your life. And when he has your life, he knows, man, I can do anything with him. And we don't ask a bunch of questions. We just stay submitted to God in the process. Man, I hope you're getting this today. Verse 22, Paul said there in Acts 20, I'm going to Jerusalem. Notice this. He said, I'm going to go. I ain't got a clue what's going to happen, though. All I know is God told me to go, and so I'm going to go. For some of us, you want to take that step of faith, but you're feeling uncertain. But Paul said, I'm going. Like, I'm going. There's a compellingness that I know God's involved in this. I'm not going to be worried about the details. I'm going to trust him with the details. Let me say it this way. When I moved my family here from Columbus, Ohio, quit my job, crazy brother, quitting his job and trusting God, right, and having faith. Crazy, right? People tell me, irresponsible dad and husband, and man, you have all that going on, all that noise. It was the scariest decision of my life. But you know, the Lord spoke to me this week. He said, Kyle, it may have been the scariest decision for your life, but you were in the safest place in your life. And here's why. Because I didn't realize this until the Holy Spirit showed me this week. He said, because you were caught up in what I wanted to do, not what you wanted to do. You were caught up in fulfilling my mission, not your mission. And so therefore, what may seem like the scariest season or waiting room of your life may be the safest place for your life today, for you to just trust God and knowing he's got this thing taken care of. Look at the person next to you. Tell him he's got this taken care of. So he wants us to live by faith, not by facts. And you got to get used to that, because that's God and that's how he works. So Paul just got used to the uncertainty. Watch this verse in 1 Corinthians. He said, after I go through Macedonia, I will come to you, for I will be going through Macedonia. Watch his language and how he speaks. He says, perhaps I will stay with you a while. Not sure. Or even spend the winter so that you can help me on my journey wherever I go. I mean, I might stay a while. Don't really know if this is where I'm going to be, but this is where God wants me. I do not want you to see now and make only a passing visit. Again, watch what he's saying. I hope to spend some time with you. I hope we can have a little time, but man, if God moves me forward, I'm going forward. If the Lord permits, and I will stay on at Ephesus until Pentecost, because a great door Everybody shout, a great door. He said, because a great door for effective work has opened to me, and there are many who oppose me. Some of us need to go ahead and take the step of faith and trust God, even if you feel uncertain. Here's what I know about God. His grace will always catch you. I always told Bethany, man, I don't know if this church will ever happen. Don't know if we'll ever be able to plant this. And if it fails, it fails. But at least, baby, we failed trying. I would rather that be said of me than just hoping and just waiting maybe one day. No, we've got to take steps of faith. Stop waiting for all the answers to move. Listen, you and I don't have it all together. That's why we need God in the process. And so 2 Corinthians says, we live by faith, not by sight. I love that verse. So here's the second question. Where do I need to take a step of faith at? Where is it today that God is saying that you need to take a step of faith? Here's the third thing. It's predictable resistance. Predictable resistance. It's going to happen. Mark it down. The enemy, listen, Satan's going to do everything he can to stop you, to slow you down, to see that you're ineffective. Listen to me this morning. The fact that you are going through something shows that you are going towards something. Let that be a reminder in your life today. The fact that whatever it is that you're going through really is an indication of what you're coming to. Acts 20:23, Paul said, I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me, that opposition and resistance are coming my way. See, the problem is sometimes we interpret resistance the wrong way. Difficult times in your life does not necessarily mean that you're out of the will of God. It could mean, in fact, that you are closer to what God wants for your life more than you've ever been. And in this journey, that even personally I know that I've had for my own life, there have been a lot of sleepless nights for me. A lot of tears I've shed. A lot of times, sure, I've wanted to quit and thrown in the towel. But you know what? I've been compelled by what God is doing because it's bigger than me. We got people in our city that don't know Jesus, and that's not okay with me. It's not okay with God. It's not okay with me. Got a lot of people that we need to pull out of hell and bring into heaven. Y'all with me today? You here today, church? And some are facing resistance right now. And instead of leaning back, you need to lean in and lean into your relationship with God. 1 Thessalonians says, for we wanted to come to you. Certainly I, Paul, did. Notice this. But he said, again and again. But Satan stopped us. I feel like for some of us, it's been hitting this wall of resistance. It just seems we can't bust through. It's interesting about that scripture where that whole phrase that Satan stopped us. In the Greek, it literally means this, that Satan cut a ditch in the road. And I'm telling you this today, God is looking for some people who are going to stand up in this hour and say, I'm not going to go around the ditch, I'm going over the ditch. I'm not going to stay suppressed to whatever my issues are and the things I'm going through because they're real things. But God is saying, I'm ready for some people to start getting some courage and faith in their life and saying, it's time to come up over this thing and see this thing defeated once and for all. It's time for the enemy to stop dictating what God wants you to do in your life because God desires freedom for you. He desires freedom for you. Y'all here today? Freedom for your life. And for some of us, God is saying, it's time to come up over that ditch and overcome it once and for all in Jesus' name. And I'm believing that for people. So here's the question. Where is the enemy attacking me at? Where do I see that happening? Where do I need God to move today that I know that he's attacking me? And then here's the last one, number four, is uncommon clarity. Boy, I love this one. There is a place in your relationship that you can grow so close to God that you can have ridiculous, uncommon clarity. I don't know about you, but I like clarity. Come on, somebody. I like direction, like knowing where I'm going, like knowing what's happening through the week. And uncommon clarity, people understand this, that are growing in their relationship with God. They focus on what God says. And they make a decision that I'm going to push past every distraction in my life. and you focus your whole life, listen, your whole life, listen, becomes God's will, not your will. God has the ability to make you and I uncomfortable, to get you and I's character where it needs to be. Why? Because he sees greatness ahead, but he cannot take us to the place that he desires for us to be unless our character is matching up with his heart and what he wants for that place. For some of us, we're fighting God. You need to quit fighting God. For some of us, we're fighting with personalities and people, and you need to stop. Some people are put in your life to help mold your character. Even the ones you can't stand are meant to teach you some level of patience and love. Come on, somebody. And you need to stay submitted to what God wants for your life. Even if it doesn't quite look like the way you think it ought to look, trust in the process. Everybody say trust in the process. Acts 20:24 says, however, I consider my life worth nothing to me, if only I may finish the race, complete the task. The Lord Jesus Christ has given me the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. I want to just kind of end this message by this story. There was a point in Israel's history where the Babylonians came in and invaded Jerusalem, and they took the people that were there into exile, and they then made them slaves, and then destroyed their city, burned it down, tore down the walls. It's a lot of years they were in slavery and bondage, and around 70 years later, there's a brother who was compelled, who got the smell of a Cinnabon. Yeah, got the smell of a Cinnabon, went to the Babylonian king, said, I need to go back. That's my city. That's the place I know God's going to do some miracles at, and I've got to go back and rebuild it. God's going to use me. He had found favor with the Babylonian king and went on back to Jerusalem. This man's name was Nehemiah in your Bibles. Full of uncertainty, he had no idea how this was even going to happen. Immediately when he came, faced resistance. He was uncertain of his own ability, but he said, I'm going to start anyway. He was attacked, the Bible said, throughout the entire process by two guys who were agitators, Sanballat and Tobiah. And when I was praying this week, shared this with Bethany last night, just so hard in my heart. And I want you to hear my heart in this. It's not to offend anybody, but some people will spend their entire lives trying to make sense of things and miss out on some of God's greatest blessings in their life. For some of you, the enemy is not your problem, that your intellect is your problem. You're trying to work it out. God's saying, I'm not interested in working with your brain. I'm trying to get to your heart and your spirit and resurrect that in your life. And I'm just telling you right now, we need to heed the Holy Spirit's voice today and what God is saying to us. So they devised this plan to get him to stop building and watch the uncommon clarity. Two quick scriptures I want to close with. Nehemiah 4:17 and 6:3. I just combined them in your notes, and it says this. Those who built on the wall and those who carried burdens loaded themselves so that with one hand they worked at construction and with the other held a weapon. You know what they realized? That as they were pushing forward in the mission that God has called them to do, that it wasn't going to come easy. That sometimes people and sometimes the enemy will try to oppose the very thing God is going and wanting to do in your life. And you've got to get a relentlessness about you and saying, I'm not going to allow the enemy and I'm not going to allow people to take me away from God's purpose and destiny for my life. And so I sent messengers to them saying, I'm doing a great work. Everybody say a great work. So that I cannot come down, and why should the work cease while I leave it and go down to you? And here's all I'm trying to tell you today, that everything that God is wanting to do in your life is great. And you got to start seeing the work in your life as a great work and have an attitude and a swag and a tenacity that says, I'm not going to be deterred by whatever comes my way. I'm going to stay towards the great work that God has for my life, for my kids, for my church, for my city, for my nation, and I'm not going back. I'm going to fulfill the mission of this great work. Look at the person next to you and say, this is a great work. It's a great work. It's worth fighting for.
This church is worth fighting for. This city is worth fighting for. Our nation, everybody, is worth fighting for. If we don't fight, what will our cities and our nation look like when our kids are grown? It's time that we get compelled by something much bigger than you. And I'm just here to let you know, God is wanting to stir you up. The question is this: what few things do I need to focus my life on? God wants to give you a vision. And this is the big idea of the day. When vision increases, options decrease, making it easier to discern the will of God. I'm done. Will you bow your head where you're at? Father, I thank you right now in this place for your presence, for the power of your Spirit that's here. And Lord, I'm praying through this waiting room series that, Lord, that there would come a compellingness, a stir within our hearts to see that you have a great work designed for us as a mom, as a dad, as a parent, as an aunt, as an uncle, as a grandma, as a grandpa, for kids, but also for our city. That you have chosen us to live in this hour, in this time, in history for such a time as this. And I pray that we would not take this day, any day, for granted in the name of Jesus. Father, sweep within our hearts, capture our heart and our spirit today. As heads remain bowed, if you're in a place that you need Jesus in your life and you recognize I need to make this decision, for some it's coming back into a relationship with God you may feel far from, and you say, today I've got to come home. Come on, don't even hesitate. Slip up your hand right now. I just believe all over this place there's people that say, man, this is me. This is me. Thank you. Awesome. Thank you. Thank you. Come on, that says, this is me. People making decisions said, I'm going to go after this. Come on, I want you to get real honest real quick with me and say, if you identified with this message and you say, man, I need stirred. I need God to compel me, to stir me up. Come on, where you at? Where you at? Real quick, just slip up your hand, just wave at me. There you go. All hands all over this place. God, I pray, stir us. Stir us, oh God, in the giftings that you placed in us, the destiny that you called us to. This is a great work. Move in their life. I pray it's not just a Sunday morning deal, stirring them this afternoon, stirring them tomorrow morning when they wake up and through this week. There come a moving of your spirit like never before. And if you lifted your hand to accept Christ, I want you to just pray this with me. Come on, church, let's help them. Say, Jesus, I give you my life. I give you all that I am today. Forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me of my past. Today's a new day for me. Jesus, thanks for loving me. Thank you for purpose. Thank you for destiny. In Jesus' name, amen.